Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of 20-somethings podcast. I am Sarah Birch, and I am the host of this podcast where we go over all the ups and downs and ins and outs of life in your 20s, in the 2020s. Oh, sorry, my nose is dripping. I must be getting a little bit sick, but it's for anybody in their 20s, anyone entering into their 20s, anyone exiting their 20s, anyone just living in the 2020s, which is all of us. It's for everybody. I am filming today on my crappy video camera. Sorry if the quality isn't 10 out of 10. I'm saving up for a proper video camera for the new year, or in the new year. We're already in the new year, which is crazy. And I wanted to wish everybody a happy new year. The episode with Nick did come out technically in the new year. And if you haven't listened to that one yet, I definitely recommend you do. It was a really fun episode, but we actually recorded it before the new year, so we didn't wish anybody a happy new year. So I am going to do that right now. Happy new year. Happy 2023. I hope all your resolutions are in effect and that you're feeling happy and well. I am feeling really great so far in 2023. Well, my first few days were a little bit rough, but I was PMSing, so then I got my period and I felt fine. Overall, feel really positive about this year, and I'm excited to see what happens and what magical mysteries and adventures come my way. So now that I've gotten that boring intro out of the way, you probably were like, skip, 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 skip. I haven't gotten any new ratings in like a bajillion years, which is really frustrating. So anyway, that is going down a whole rabbit hole that we don't need to get into today, because we're talking about another story time, another breakup, another heartbreak, another intercontinental long distance. Well, actually, it wasn't long distance. For once, it wasn't, because we actually were both living. Well, it kind of was, because we were still living 45 minutes apart, even though we were in the same country. So it was kind of long distance, but not really. Yeah, so we're going to talk about another story time. And I wasn't going to do this on here. I was just going to make a YouTube video. You guys loved the last one, which is hilarious. I was so defensive when I made that. I don't regret making it. I'm very proud of that episode, actually. And I think it's iconic. And I think it's, I really do stand by a lot of the things I said in that. Anyway, you guys loved the last Storytime episode, and a few people reached out saying, girl, continue to spill the tea, continue to make these story times, talking about heartbreak, breakups, bad dates, good dates, because people like the gossip, the tea, the drama. There's nothing wrong with that. I like it too. I do. I am still going to make my serious topical podcast where I talk about things that are important to talk about. But to be honest, those do not perform as well as my ones that are about friendship breakups and ex-boyfriends. Those ones do a lot better, which makes sense, right? But all my stories are really intense and really dramatic, and I'm not making them up. I swear. What do you have to do? I swear to God, I swear on the, what do you do? Put your right hand up, left hand up? I don't know, I've never been in court, but you swear on the Bible that everything you say is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God, I swear. I mean, it is obviously from my perspective. I don't have my ex-boyfriends on the podcast to come on and explain their perspective. And they could if they wanted to, but I would probably not give them a lot of microphone time, to be honest. One of my ex-boyfriends actually did come on the podcast. and that was actually fun. I do like that episode. So anyway, this all kind of comes full circle, because the story time that I did last time was about that person. And I was very defensive because it was so fresh. And you could literally hear the sadness and the voice cracks in my voice. And just the sheer anger. And I don't regret making that episode. I think it was entertaining and therapeutic for me in certain ways. The point of art is to turn pain and turn confusion and distress, my puppy's home, Darla, hi honey bunny, into art. And that's what I was doing with that podcast. I was taking a lot of hurt feelings and confusion and frustration. Hi Baba. Hi angel girl. Mommy's recording the podcast. You want to say hi? Yeah. She just got back from a walk with my dad. So the last story time, I believe I met them initially in 2019. So I had already been living in the UK for quite a while. I moved September 2018 to Belfast. And that's kind of when I started teaching and found my own place and stuff. And I met this person literally day two. of living there, which is not what I wanted and not what I would recommend to someone if they are looking for a fresh start and moving somewhere new and trying to have an adventure. Like, I did not choose this. It chose me and it imploded because I was not ready and I was not willing to be in a relationship, but I was also like terrified to be alone. But I'll explain all of that in further detail. So I was there with my friend Elise. She actually came over for the first 2 weeks to help me like adjust, and we traveled. We went to London for a few days and then like Dublin and Galway and then back to Belfast for like 4 days or something. And it was super fun, although she got really sick, which was unfortunate. So there was a few nights that I went out without her because she was just too sick. But like I had a few other friends in Belfast. So I went out one night with my old friends from uni, like Dervla. I don't know if Orla was there, but a few of my friends, hi girlies, if you're watching or listening. And we got fucked up and we went to the National, I think, which is a really fun bar slash club downtown in Belfast. I don't fully remember the night, but I do remember being in the smoking area and my friend Patrick was there. Hi, Patrick, if you're listening. I'm sure he doesn't even remember this, but Patrick was like what that's crazy about, let's call him. I'm going to do another story time on him, but I don't want to say people's real names. Let's call Madagascar guy Richard, and let's call this other guy that I'm going to tell this story about, let's call him Peter. Sure. So Patrick was talking about Richard, who's my first ex-boyfriend from the first time I lived in Belfast. And that's a whole other story. But he was like, oh, I can't believe like he moved. That's crazy. Like, that sucks for you or something. I don't think he meant anything by it. But I was like, so distraught that he was no longer in Belfast. And I really was not over him at this point in time. But anyway, so Patrick was like rubbing it in because he was drunk and I was drunk. And I think he was just like trying to banter. But I just broke down crying and walked out by myself. So drunk, like walked out of the bar. It was probably like 2 a.m. And so everybody was lining up for taxis because this was kind of the time of night where everyone's trying to get home. And I could not get a taxi to save my life. And I'm trying to like hail one and I'm so drunk and I'm crying. And then some blonde guy, Peter, literally like jumped out of nowhere and was like, hey, are you okay? Like, do you need a taxi? And I was like, I can't get one. I just need to get home. I was so upset. Like, anyway, and then he was like, oh, don't worry, I got you, I got you. And he was like, literally like jumped in front of a taxi to get it for me, like forced the taxi man to pull over. And he was like, I'm sorry, I just like, I have to get your number before you go. And I'm like, I don't know, like, I'm not in a good place or whatever. And he's like, please, like, as a thank you for the taxi, like anything, like I need to get your number. So I was like, okay, I guess since you were so sweet and you helped me get a taxi, like, I will give you my number. And I don't know, I had just gotten this number. It was a UK number. I have no idea how I either remembered it or I must have found it in my phone or had it written down somewhere because I was so drunk, but I gave him the right number. And I left and got in the taxi. A few days later, I was in Enniskillen. I was hiking and I got a text from a random number that said like, hi, it's Peter, the blonde prince. And it was so nice to meet you the other night, like, hope you got home safe or something. And I remember talking to Elise and being like, oh my God, like, I actually gave him the right number. That's crazy. Like, he was pretty cute. And he was very cute. He looked a lot like Niall Horan, just so like, you guys can visualize it. Like, same sort of body type, blonde, greenish blue eyes, and like Irish. So yeah, he was a cutie. And I was like, hi. And then he was like, can I see you again? Type thing. Like, he was very eager. He was very on it. Like, I was like, but I wasn't really into it. I'm going to be honest. There's no way Peter is listening. Peter and I have traumatized each other enough, but I was like, he was very cute though, but it wasn't like I was like head over heels. Like, I was kind of like, meh, he was cute, but I just wasn't really into it. But he was saying, please, like, next time you're going out. I was like, fine. Oh my God. No, I'm just kidding. He was very sweet. So we met up with him at my favorite bar called The Points in Belfast when we were there. I think it was like one of our last nights. And we hit it off, but there was a bunch of other people there too. Like, I was meeting up with all of my old friends. And I think we invited our friend Josh, who we met at when we were really hungover, and we were at a restaurant downtown. I can't remember what it was called. And the guy, he was like one of the workers there. He gave us like a bunch of tea for free because Elise was so sick and I was so hungover. And he was like, you girls seem like you're having like a rough go. Like here, just help yourself, have as much tea as you want. And we loved him. And I'm actually still friends with him. So we invited him out. So there was like a bunch of people out that night. It was like a group date. And I don't think Peter was expecting this because he looked like a little disappointed when he walked in. And he was older than me. I was 22 and he was 28. And all of these people were like 22 or 21. But he made the most of it. And he had the whole table laughing and cackling. He was probably like the most personable person I've ever dated. Like life of the party. Really, really like funny, friendly guy. Could get along with anyone. Like could start a conversation with a cactus. And so I was kind of surprised, like pleasantly surprised at him and how much fun he was. And then, but he was like very eager. Like I could tell he was really into me and he was like holding my hand when we were walking. This was like our first ever hangout. And I was just like a little unsure of what his intentions were or whatever. And so we go to Limelight, which is a club in Belfast, like a really fun club, but it's for a younger crowd. I used to go there all the time when I was in university there, but I was still young at the time. I was 22, but he definitely hadn't been to that club in a long time. But he came because he was a good sport and we danced and this boy was picking me up, tossing me over his shoulder, twirling me around. Like it was so, he was buying everybody drinks. He was so much fun. I just remember, and his dancing, he was dancing so hard, like sweating through his shirt, like didn't even care, like pit stains. And that is kind of like the type of person I always imagine myself with, was someone who could just hold their own and someone who was just really outgoing and fun and like fearless. And I was quite taken. I think the issue with him is timing and like maturity. Like I was young, I was 22, I was still heartbroken and hung up on my other ex who I had fallen in love with in the exact same city. And so it was like everything that happened with Peter, I kind of compared to everything I felt and everything that happened with Richard. And it just never seemed to compare. Like I'd always seemed to fall short, which is just my issue. Like it's nothing that Peter did wrong. Peter did everything right. He was consistent. He was a great listener. He was patient. He bought me random gifts out of nowhere just because he was thinking of me. He paid attention to what I was talking about. He'd hold me when I cry. Like he was, I ended up in the hospital a few times when I was dating him just because of stupid stuff. And he always showed up at the hospital, like my favorite coffee, favorite snacks, like just held me the whole time. He was like the best boyfriend. And I really hope that I've matured enough at this point that if I do find another man who treats me that well, that I'll actually be able to like appreciate it this time. And that's like, I don't beat myself up about that. I was young, I was dumb, I was in love with someone else. Like I did the best I could at the time. And I recognized that I was being treated well and I wanted to want that. But at the same time, you can't help who you love. And I was hung up on someone else who I was hoping, like I was hoping these nights I was spending curled up in bed with Peter, I was hoping that would be Richard when I moved there, to be quite honest. So everything just felt like a letdown. And I'm sure Peter could feel that, you know, like people are aware of other people's weird vibes and distant energy. And I'm sure he could understand. I was very honest. One thing you can't say about me is that I'm not, wait, what? One thing you can always say about me in a relationship, even though I am not perfect at all, I have my bad habits and everything like everybody does, but I am always honest, almost to a fault sometimes. Like if I'm upset with you, I'm going to talk to you about it. Like the entire time I was with him, I was saying, like, I was talking about Richard a little bit and saying what happened with that situation and saying how I'm not positive, I'm over him. And I was like, I just want to take this slow because I'm feeling a little cornered here. Because he, like, from after that first date, he was like, let me take you out, let me take you out, let me take you out. Which, again, like, 10 out of 10, all men should be like this. But I had just gotten there and I was ready to, like, shake my ass on the bar and get every guy in Belfast lined up, like, on a rotating schedule to like hang out with them, meet them, get to know people, like flirt, dance, have fun. Like I was not trying to find a relationship unless, to be honest, unless it was with Richard. And if it wasn't with that Richard guy, I was like, okay, well, like, let's just fuck around because I'm in Ireland. I'm 22. I'm free as a bird. Like, and so that's like would be what I would recommend to other young girls or boys if they're traveling. unless it's something really, really, really special that you think is like a forever thing, I would just stay single and maintain your boundaries and maintain your expectations of what you wanted that experience to be before you even left. Like, it's so easy when you get lonely and homesick and sad, it's so easy to like fall into the comfort of someone, you know, and then to just kind of end up in a relationship and you're not really sure how you got there. And then of course you have to remember that you're always going to be the exotic girl, which I miss so much. I miss being the exotic princess, like everywhere you go, you know, you're ordering a coffee and people look at you like, where are you from? And then you get to like, it's like an immediate icebreaker. People want to hear about Canada and people want to know how you ended up in this place. It's so fun. It's so fun. I mean, unless you don't like being the center of attention, then it's probably not that fun. But for someone like me, I loved being the exotic girl and I ate it up. But he kind of staked his claim on me a little bit, and quite quickly. Like before I knew it, we were like consistently like having sleepovers and going on dates and like texting every day, I don't even know if we ever had an official like boyfriend conversation, but it just was kind of like all of the behavior and everything just added up to the fact that he was my boyfriend. And I was like, oh, I guess I have a boyfriend now. Like, I've only been here for a month or two. And I was feeling discontented, I'm not gonna lie. And I was doing things that were a little bit out of character. Like, if I'd be out with him and some friends, if I had a bit of time alone, like if he was in the washroom or something, I would find myself like looking for Richard or like looking for other guys and like seeing what else was out there. Like, I definitely had a wandering eye and I wasn't taking our relationship as seriously as he was. And that's on me. Like, I'm not saying that that's right. It's just the truth of the matter. And I was aware that I was doing these things and he was seeing it, and then he'd get pissed at me. And I was trying to explain, like, I think this is moving too fast. Like, I don't mean to hurt you, but I also don't want to hurt myself and I don't want to be unfair to myself. And he really cared about me so much. I think he was just so frustrated by the scenario, and I don't blame him. Like, I've been in the reverse situation as Peter, and that's why I've always maintained so much sympathy for Peter, even though things didn't end well. Like, I know what it's like to love someone more than they love you. Trust me. I know what it's like to like put yourself out there time and time again and have someone fall short every time because they're just not mentally or emotionally where you are. Like, I've been through that quite a few times, and it sucks and it sticks with you and it scars you in a lot of ways. And I knew that that was what I was doing to him, but I was like, bro, you're 28. Like, I'm 22. Cut me some slack. Like, you've lived a lot more life than I've lived comparatively. You've had more relationships than I've had, and you've had more experiences than I've had. And I'm 26 now, so if I met a 28 or 29 year old guy now, I'm sure we'd be a great match. And that's probably what I will be looking for in the future, as an older guy who actually like knows who he is and knows what he wants. But at the time, I think like I was pretty mature for my age, but I wasn't ready for him. He was husband material, I think. And I was not looking for a husband. I was looking for like a good time. And I don't know if that makes me sound horrible, but when you're 22 and just graduated and want to move to a different country, like, of course you're not looking for a husband unless you want to get that green card, honey. Anyway, so whatever, long story short, we dated for a few months and we had lots of fun for the most part, and we really bonded, and I did come to fall for him. And I think I was a little bit too far in the like, I don't really like him that much, but he's so good to me. He's so sweet, and he would never hurt me. Like, those are literally the kind of things I was like justifying why I was with him, even though I didn't really want to be, and I knew it wasn't right, and I wanted to like meet other people. But you know what the fucked up thing is? Because like I'm totally taking responsibility for this too. I'm not saying he like love bombed me into a relationship. I don't really think that that's what that was. Like, I was consensual, but I also think I was young and naive and very homesick and very lonely, which has like a big factor in like just taking what you can get in terms of like love and affection and company. And I know that sounds evil, but like, unless you've lived somewhere by yourself alone and you're like desperately homesick, like, you'll understand what I'm saying. Whereas someone wants to see you and hang out with you, it's really hard to cut that off, because it's like, well, who else am I going to spend my nights with? Who else am I going to text if something goes wrong? Like, who else is going to, you know, like, you have friends and stuff, but it's not the same. So anyway, so we ended up breaking up. I broke up with him in December before I went home for Christmas. I was so miserable in Belfast. I was having panic attacks every single day. I could not stop crying. It was one of the worst mental health periods of my life, for sure. I was working at a job I hated. The guy that I thought was going to be there was not there, Richard, and I was extremely depressed about that. I was in a relationship where I felt like a horrible person every single day. And the weather was crap. Like, I moved to Ireland in the fall, which is notoriously like really rainy and dark and dreary in the UK or in Ireland. So I was not in the best state of mind. And so I wanted to move home. And I was like, this was a mistake. I should not have moved here. And so I would call my mom booked me a flight. My mom and dad, they were like really concerned about my mental health. So they booked me a flight home for Christmas. And they're like, stay for like 4 weeks, like have a nice long rest and then reevaluate. We can cancel. Well, actually, I had to move back anyway to like get my crap. But my mom actually flew back with me at the end of January. And then I kind of started fresh and I like gave it a good go. And then I ended up staying until Christmas of the next year. So I ended up staying for like a year and a half total. I literally sat this man down, this grown man, and I was extremely honest. And I said, I just don't see why like this working for us right now. I am so mentally unwell. You can see it. I can see it. I'm probably going to end up moving home to Canada soon, within the next few months, because I don't like it here. I'm not happy. And I'm not over my ex, and I want to be so bad. I desperately want to be over my ex because my ex sucks, and you don't. But you can't just turn off a button or a switch and make everything change. Like, these things take time. And so I was very honest with him, and he was crying and I was crying, and it was awful. And he just was like, you've broken my heart. Like, I can't believe this. And he left, and it was extremely upsetting. I really didn't want to hurt him, and I hated myself for it, but I knew it was the right thing to do at the time. So we broke up, and then I go back to Canada. And the entire time I'm in Canada, typical Sarah, I'm like, Peter this, Peter that, Peter this, Peter that. I was like, what did I do? I had such a good thing. Like, what did I do? And then I was like definitely romanticizing it from afar. And I was filling in my friends and family about him and just like painting him out in this perfect light, I think. And then people were like, well, why'd you guys break up? He sounds great. And then I was getting confused. So when I moved back, I ended up meeting him for coffee, which, like, this is so toxic. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, this was just me being selfish. And everybody has selfish moments in relationships, especially when you're still growing and learning and you're immature. But I was like, let's grab a coffee and catch up and like see where we're both at. Which he was really just trying to heal, and I just was not letting him go because it was like I wanted to have my cake and eat it too a little bit, I think. So he met me for coffee, and he came in with like a chip on his shoulder right off the bat, and I was like, oh boy. And he just did not smile once, like did not even look at me, like he had a hard time even looking at me. And I'm just sitting there like, my Christmas was great. I missed you. I hope you're doing well. Like, I love that sweater. La la la. Like, not saying anything at all with any substance that he would actually want to, like, I think he was meeting with me hoping that I would like ask for him back, and I definitely did not do that. I was very much like just testing the waters to see how he was, and so he was not happy. So he ended up leaving. Totally fair. And so I moved on, and I dated another guy for a while oh, he was so beautiful. Hi, Rory. Hi. Hi, you're listening. He was literally a 10 out of 10, like the most gorgeous man I've ever dated. Did we connect on any other level? No, not really. Not spiritually, not intellectually, not in any way. But that boy, like, I would say hotter than Henry Cavill, and that's saying something. He was something special. All right, I'll tell ya. He looked a little bit like that guy from, he has a really long name. I can't remember it right now, but he's like off The Politician. He played River, I think, in The Politician. And then he was in that movie, The Girl from Riverdale, like when she's pregnant. And then there's like two different scenarios of what could have happened. Do you guys remember that movie? It like came out. It was actually really good. And he was in that. He was like one of the main characters. His name's like David, I think. But anyway, he looked a little bit like him, but hotter. And so we had our fun for like 5 weeks or 6 weeks. And he was like perfect rebound. But that didn't work out because he was moving to London. So I was like, bye. And then I was kind of sad and lonely again. I'm so toxic. No, I'm just human. And humans crave comfort and love and consist. Like, it's normal. Everybody's done this shit before. It's just, like, sounds bad when I'm relaying it with, like, a camera. I don't know. It sounds like I'm evil. Anyway, so I texted Peter back at some point. Oh, it was St. Patrick's Day, and I contemplated it forever. Should I text him? Should I not? I don't want to hurt him. So being a selfish idiot, I was like, oh, let me try to get Peter back. And I genuinely did. Like, I pursued that boy hard for like 2 or 3 months, like went to his shows. Cause, oh, this is very important. I can't believe I haven't said this. He was a musician. I cannot believe I haven't said this. He was a musician. He had a band, and they played all over Belfast and all over Northern Ireland. And that was like his full-time job. Like, he would play 2 or 3 gigs a night, like a few nights a week. And that was how he made his income. And he was, yeah, it was really cool. I saw so many of his shows. Like, I'd always bring my friends to see his shows. And so, yeah, I was like kind of proud of myself because I was like, if you could go back and tell little 15-year-old Sarah, who was obsessed with Ireland, that she dated when she's older, she's going to date a cute Irish musician that looks like Niall Horan, I would have been like, me? What? He actually serenaded me a few times. Actually, maybe just once. I think I'm blowing it out of proportion. But he did serenade me in a bar, I remember very vividly, when he was performing live. And there was a whole bunch of people there. And I was actually hanging out because I went to the show by myself because I was being a supportive girlfriend. And, but I was bored. No, that sounds bad. No, I wasn't bored. I was alone, though. So, of course, you want to, like, it's like an hour show. Like, I don't want to just sit there and stare at him. So I sat down with this, like, bachelorette party, and we were just talking and laughing and having fun. And then they're like, oh, this musician's, like, really cute or whatever. And I'm like, thanks, that's, like, my boyfriend. And then they were like, what? Oh, my God, you're so lucky. And then he was like, this one goes out to Sarah, my girl, or something like that. And then he sang Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison to the entire bar, and all these girls were looking at me and they were like, ah, you're so lucky, oh my God. And I was like, me? Like, I was living my teenage fantasy. It was so cute. And Van Morrison's from Northern Ireland, if you didn't know, so it was like this, like, full circle moment. And I have very pleasant memories. Like, things obviously did not work out with this poor guy. But little moments like that, I will definitely remember when I'm like 95 and telling my grandkids about this. So yeah, I definitely fell in love with him, and I definitely did start to see his promise and his potential, but I think too much damage had been done. Like, he was very hurt and I didn't give him enough time to, like, recover. And I definitely didn't probably give myself enough time to recover and to, like, actually grow. So I was kind of like pressuring him a little bit to, like, take me back, because I hate being in limbo. Like, I do like spontaneity and unpredictability, but I don't like not knowing what will happen and, like, potentially getting hurt or getting lost or getting screwed over. Like, I hate that feeling, and I get very anxious and, like, fight for control. And so he was just, like, not sure if he wanted to actually give me, like, he was, like, hanging out with me and stuff, but it was always with a wall up. And he, like, refused to introduce me to his friends and family again and, like, bring me back into that world. And he was just, like, still punishing me a bit. Like, he'd still make these comments about how much I hurt him and stuff. And I was just, like, ready to move on at that point. I was like, look, bro, I was having a mental health crisis. I thought I was moving back to Canada. Like, it's not like I cheated on you. It's not like I betrayed you in any way. Like, I was very honest with you the entire time. I'm sorry if that honesty sucked, because it's not like a lot of what I was saying was pleasant to hear. I get that. Like, but at the end of the day, at least I was being honest, and I wasn't, anyway. So I was kind of pressuring him, like, forgive me or don't, but I'm only here for like 2 years max, and I want to move on with my life. Like, if you don't want to be with me, that's fine, but you can't just string me along for months and months and months and then decide you don't want to be with me to, like, I think he wanted to hurt me, which I get. Like, that's human nature. Like, someone hurts you, you want to hurt them. Like, I do get that. But, like, also, I don't know. I also am just such a impulsive, fast-moving person. Like, I'm just like, just be with me or don't. Like, how do you live in this in-between? It's just too hard. So I sent him this big text, which is like mistake number one, basically telling him he needed to like figure his shit out and decide if he wanted to be with me or not, because this in-between thing was like toxic for both of us. He was still punishing me for something that happened months ago. And it was like, I don't know, I don't remember what I sent, but I know he found it extremely hurtful and offensive. I don't think that was what my intention was, but like, who knows? I was young, like, I don't even remember what I said, but it was definitely something that pissed him off because he didn't talk to me for like 2 weeks, like literally ghosted me. I was like, oh, and then I'd like try to reach out and nothing. And I like try to reach out and nothing. And I'm like, are you alive? These men and their ghosting, they need so much time to process. It's actually insane. Like, boys, go to therapy, all of you. Like, it should not take weeks and weeks and weeks to process. It's okay to take a bit of time, but like, you don't need to ghost someone for weeks to process your emotions. Like, just like a day or two, I get it. But like, anyway, that's a different story. We all need to go to therapy. I need to keep doing therapy too. I get it. But I was like, oh, he's died. Okay. And then he showed up at my door one day and knocked on the door, and like, I opened the door. I'm like, hi. And he threw a bag at me and like stormed off, like threw a bag at me. And I was like, whoa, come back. And he was like, no, we're done. And I'm like, what? I'm like so naive, just in my own little Sarah world. In my head, I didn't do anything wrong, like, which is maybe just shows like me being toxic. But I literally was like, but I just wanted you to love me. Story of my life. Like, me being such a succubus on these men because they give me nothing and then I latch on more, and then they give me nothing and then I latch on more. And then I like completely do something impulsive and make a fool of myself and they get scared. And then I'm like, but I just wanted you to love me. But that's literally what it is, guys. Like, and I feel like I didn't really do anything that wrong in the first place. I really tried to give him a fair shot, but I also was trying to honor my emotions and my experience. And I mean, I definitely made some mistakes and I would do things differently if I could go back, but I felt like his reaction was a little intense. And then I was like, come back, get back here. Because like, I don't let things go easily, clearly. And so he came back in. I was like, get inside the house right now, sit down. You're going to talk to me like a man. You're going to talk to me adult to adult. You're not going to run off after throwing a fucking bag. So in this bag, I think it was like some belongings. I know it was definitely a book I loaned him, which I'm glad I got it back. It's like one of my favorite books. And I think there was a few other things. I can't remember, like a t-shirt, like, or maybe it was just the book. I can't remember. But it was like, he came to return something that belonged to me, and then he was going to literally leave and give me no explanation. But I forced him to sit down. And then what ensued was 5 hours. This was on like a Sunday or something. My roommate wasn't home. Like 5 hours of a horrible breakup. Like the most intense, awful breakup. Like him ripping apart my character. Me literally on the floor, cowering, bawling, screaming, shaking. Like, I can't do this without you. I can't do, because I was already like, so overwhelmed, 22, living in a new country by myself, like trying to make friends, trying to figure things out, trying to pay rent. And he was like one of my safe places. And I just like couldn't handle the thought of losing. He was my best friend. Like, he was like my go-to person. And I became very reliant on him and very attached to him. And like, in that moment, I was thinking, I guess, quite selfishly, but I was like, I can't live here without you. Like, what am I going to do? Which is so funny, because honestly, I feel like after that moment, after him and I broke up, my life got extremely better. Like, I got a job I loved at Titanic. I started making so many more friends. I started going out more. I started traveling a bit more. Like, he was actually kind of holding me back in a lot of ways. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I just don't think we were like, I don't think we were very healthy for each other at that time in life. And but at that moment, oh my god, I just went on like fight or flight mode. Like, I literally thought the world was crumbling around me. I was like, you cannot do this to me. Like, I can't live here. I need to go home. I need my mom. I need my dad. I'm like getting emotional talking about it, but I was like, I can't. Because when I broke up with, when Richard broke up with me, I guess this would have been like a year or two before, I was also in Belfast by myself without my family. And then I moved to Spain for a few months and was trying to process like the worst heartbreak of my life without my family. And like, this seems to be a recurring issue for me because, you know, that's what happens when you live away from home. And I just remember just wanting my mom and wanting my dad and just being so upset. And I was also in the process of moving to a different apartment across town, but he just didn't want to hear it. And he was so angry at me. And he was like, you know, that message you sent me was the most selfish thing I've ever read. Like, you are actually the worst person, essentially. Like you, if you really loved me, you would have given me as much time as I need. You wouldn't pressure me. You wouldn't be impatient with me. You would sit back as long as it takes and let me process. Which honestly, kind of fair point, because if he was really the man, like if he was really the man that I saw myself with forever, if he was really the love of my life, I probably would have sat back for days, months, years and let him and like prove to him that I was worthy of forgiveness. I was just like, I'm here, but there's no guarantee I'll be here forever. So like, let's do this or let's not do this. And I also stand by that. I don't think either of us were like completely right or completely wrong. I think there was a lot of unacknowledged pain on his end that I didn't fully apologize for. And I didn't fully like give him time to heal. Like, I don't think I realized how much I hurt him the first time we broke up. So then for me to come in a few months later and be like, get over it and pick me, I think he took that as a massive offense, an attack. And like, I see it now in retrospect a little bit. I see his perspective, but I still don't think he handled it that well, really, like to ghost me for weeks and leave me sweating and then to show up and just like throw a book at me and storm off. Like, I was like, bro, you're like 29. I think he was 29 by this point. I'm like, come on, like, let's be adults. And, but he's a Libra. Very emotional. Very, very, I won't say anymore. I tend to go for Libras and they tend to. Anyway, moving. So yeah, and then I guess that's the end of the story, guys. Like, I will say, he did hold me. He held me while I cried. He did. I was hysterical, bawling, shaking, could not breathe. He was like rubbing my back, holding me like a newborn baby. And he's like, Sarah, I have to go. I'm like, no. He's like, Sarah, I have to go. Like, I can't do this. Like, I can't be with you. And I'm like, please just stay for one more night. Like, please, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And he left. Like, eventually he left and he was like, I'm sorry. Like, have a good life. And we never spoke ever again. And that would have been March or April of 2019. So yeah, it's been a long ass time. I hope he's well. We don't have each other on anything. We don't talk. And I knew that was for the best. Like, I considered a few times reaching out to him just to like check in. And like, I'm sure if I saw him now, it's been like 4 years, I would hope we could like give each other a hug and like be civil. But I don't know if that's what he would want. Like, I'm sure he's moved on and has like a girlfriend or a wife. Probably he's in his 30s now, or potentially even a child. And that is what I want for Peter, because Peter is a good person and has a big, big heart. And really was there for me in a lot of dark times where I needed somebody to be there and to take care of me and to just be like a guiding light. And he was that for me. And I'm eternally grateful to him, even though the whole ending was very traumatic in a lot of ways. And there's certain things about his behavior that I didn't love. And I'm sure he feels the same way about me. I think as you heal and as you move on, you're able to look back at people and see things with just a little bit more of an objective, compassionate lens and be like, everything just feels so personal. And a lot of the times with breakups, even though it is personal, it's not, which is so crazy because it's such a mind fuck that you're like so out of control of relationships sometimes. Like, you could do every single thing right, say all the right things, follow all the right timelines. And I'm like so burpy. This is what happens when I drink my sparkling water when I podcast. That's the end of the story. How sad. It started so fun. Like, ooh, he serenaded me. Like, we went out dancing and now it's like womp womp. But so yeah, let me know if you guys like these stories. I have a few more. I don't have like a ton, but there's definitely one more I could tell about Richard if you'd like to hear it. That one's the craziest of them all. I'm not even exaggerating. Yeah, I could tell you about some of my best dates, worst dates. I know this isn't particularly about life in your 20s. It's more about me. My dad kind of like doesn't like when I do these episodes that he's like, they're just like a personal journal. It's just you talking about yourself. I'm like, okay, but people like the tea. And also, I'm sure if you're listening to this, there was some part of this story that you could relate to on some level, or something you could have learned from my mistakes or whatever. And that's still an important part of a podcast, is to like connect with your audience in that way through your own personality and your own experiences, I think. And if it made you, if you've gone through something like this and it made you feel less alone or less crazy, then like, that's what I'm here to do. Cause we're all crazy. Just some of us are a lot less subtle about it, like me. Anyway, so yeah, I guess I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, and please follow, leave a rating and review. You can follow me on Instagram. All the links are in the description below. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you. I hope you have a really good week, and I'll be back next week with another episode. Bye.